Amen. Well, praise God. What a wonderful time to be together. It has been a holy convocation. Thank the Lord. Because He's here. Because people have minded Him and in cooperation with His Spirit. And amen. We just appreciate all the blessings of the Lord to us. It's been a wonderful time together. I've been here before, but never any more enjoyable than this time. And we're just thankful for the privilege to be here. Thankful how the Lord has helped Brother Goodwin this week. Oh, how could it be? And he made the first service. How much longer is he going? God's helped him all the way through. I want to praise God. Thank the Lord. Amen. It has been good to be here with you. Appreciated the Bible studies. What a sealing of the Bible studies this afternoon. Amen. Glory to God for victory. Amen. And Brother Sam, God bless you. Precious family. I love you more than before. Appreciate seeing how God's working in your life. Amen. And just each one, you've been gracious. Thank you for helping us down the gospel trail. And Sister Becky has just done her best to keep us fat and flourishing. And God bless her. Glad Vicki can be here tonight. She's had a rough yesterday and today and wasn't sure, and here she is, and I'm thankful that she's here tonight. Good to have Matt and Steph here the last couple days. That's been an extra blessing. Amen. Appreciate Brother Doddrell's ministry, fellow laborer, but I want you to pray for me here in a little bit, brother. Amen. This has been a rich time together. Put us in the harness, we can lay into it. Make a team to pull. But in the spirit too. Glory to God. God bless you, saints. I want to vote a hands. How many saints have some pull left in them? Need you to pull tonight. God didn't lay a sermonette on my heart. Laid a message. For someone. So I endeavor to mind God. Appreciate your prayers. Next camp meeting may be a little higher. Ecclesiastes. Chapter 8. I invite you to stand. If you care, if it's not convenient, that's fine. But sometimes you're ready for a change of position, help you. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8. There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied my heart unto every work that is under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before Him. But, it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. We are eternal creatures. Thank God for those who have made the eternal yes. You know, we're going to keep saying yes to him up there too. If you haven't said it yet, he'll help you to say it. Brother, if you'll come up, Brother Doddrell. I want to preach from verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. And they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. And I want to preach on the thought they missed it. They missed it. And it's final. They're buried. There's no change. They missed it. God bless you, brother.
Our Father, we do come to you tonight.
God bless
tonight.
We thank
you for Brother Thompson and his faithfulness to your word.
Holy
to your will,
Spirit,
to your
tonight.
Now, Lord, the last night of this camp meeting.
Help us in this hour right
Kansas,
now.
And there's ever a time we needed the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Oh, God, breathe over us right now.
Our souls being weighed in the balances.
Yes, blessed Lord.
They'll see the mercy door of God still open, and there'll be an appetite and a desire.
Yes,
in
yes, make it
you.
So, Lord.
Now,
we pray.
The anointing of God rest upon Brother Thompson.
Oh,
may he sense that peculiar something that makes preaching effective. What's the crowd that's gathered in?
Yes, Lord.
There be judgment day honesty.
Help us, Lord, in this hour.
And it be easy for folk to mind you.
Yes, yes, yes.
In Jesus' name we ask these things.
Amen. Thank you, my good brother. You may be seated. They missed it. If there's someone here tonight that you know there's things you want to do before you cross the line of world, but you haven't got it done, I'm preaching to you. I wish I could say, and so I saw wicked buried, had come and gone, place holy, and he or she. But it said they, for they are a great crowd. I want to look at 4 things tonight about this group. First of all, they knew God's house. They'd come and gone. Might have even been raised around God's house. Can't remember the first time they went. They can't remember the first time they heard the name of God. Can't remember their first gospel song or first gospel message. 5.5 years I did volunteer barber service in Denver, Colorado when we pastored out there. Fellow who was the director of the mission, his name was Leonard. He was not a big guy, but a pretty tall black guy, real gentleman. But he was before he was saved, he was a drug lord up in Chicago. He had his big toughies around him. He had everything he wanted, from money to drugs to women to whatever he wanted. It was the snap or call of his finger. In a certain area of Chicago, he walked as a king. He had no fear. Others feared, but he never. He said one day he was swaggering down the street, big gold chain and the fellows around him, and he was feeling like he was on top of the world. And a little short middle-aged guy walked up to him and took the Bible and put it in his chest, and he said, "Sir, you need God." He said his first thought was, "Why does he have the courage to come up to me like that?" But he said, "I couldn't speak. I couldn't move my arms. God froze him up while that guy witnessed to him." And then the guy marched on down the street. God unfroze him, and he turned around, but the guy was gone. That so shook him up. He started seeking God and became a Christian from the first person who ever witnessed to him. God help us. It's not our place to judge. Do they want to hear God can save him, God can't, or whatever. Hey, if God says witness to that person, he's a working on the other end. You just trust God and obey him. This crowd wasn't like Leonard. They were familiar with God's house. You know, how many people, unfortunate things have happened. Our brother preached about that last night, wasn't it? The root of bitterness. Perish the thought. Root of bitterness. Hey, things happen. They've happened to all of us. I'm not going to say things are just easy to say, "Well, Lord, you can have that one." Oh, no, when you're bleeding. Actually, when you're bleeding, don't try to figure it out. Just commit it to God and let God work things out later on as life goes on. But some people have had victory. Preachers. Preachers that have turned their back. Had a neighbor man. He ran a bar, owned the bar, ran the bar. He took one of his barmaids and I don't know if she became his wife or mistress or whatever it was. One day, I was just walking by. He bought an old 35 Chevy pickup. Deep purple. Looked like 20 coats of paint on it. I mean, a beautiful old pickup. So I went over and started talking to him, complimented him about his old pickup. "Yeah," he said, "I paid $20,000 for it." He said, "I don't know if I done a good thing or a bad thing, but I got it." We talked for a little bit, and he stopped and just looked at me. He says, "You don't know who I am." "Oh," I said, "I know you. I know your bar down in Englewood. I see your wife walk her dogs by." He said, "You don't know who I am." He said, "I know who you are." He said, "When I was in seminary, Dallas Theological Seminary, he said, I thought things were going well. But," he said, "I had a professor that destroyed my confidence in the Word of God. And," he said, "I threw it all away." I tried to encourage him. Invited him to our house. He never did come. Invited him to church. He never did come. We remained friendly. It was always a very warm greeting wherever we met. But my heart just ached for him. Knew the house of God. I don't know the circumstances, but at the point of death, numbered with the wicked. They were familiar. They knew what they wanted to do, where they wanted to go, what they wanted to be. They'd come and gone. Somewhere they had never surrendered. I don't know what it takes for you to say that eternal yes. But we have to surrender. And there's a lot of things you can surrender on the peripheral that's not going to change you too much. But there are some things you got to say yes to that's heart and soul and bone. That's where the devil wants you to compromise with yourself, rationalize with yourself. But friend, it's how we get those issues settled depends how we're going to come out on the other end of the battle. And our eternal home. Knew God's house. They'd come and gone. Secondly, they thought sometime they would get right. Sometime. Most people do. Most people that have any concept of religion or Sunday school, regardless how they're living, they plan to make heaven their home someday. That's why they kept coming. They come and gone from the place of the holy. Someday, they're going to get it settled. Some reason, good one or bad one? Well, there's no good ones. I don't care what excuse or rationalization or whatever. Really, there are no good ones. When you evaluated the difference in heaven or hell, there's no good reason to go to hell. Rich man fared sumptuously every day. That wasn't a good reason. Really, it doesn't matter what the issue is, and the devil doesn't care what the issue is either. He doesn't care. In a revival meeting out in Illinois, it's when I was pastoring in Colorado, out in Illinois, fell at the meeting and said, I've got a friend that lives out there near you. I'd like to give you his address and see if you can go look him up. He used to be a good Christian. We fellowshipped here together, but he said he's lost his way. I wonder if you could go talk with him. Well, I said, sure. He gave me the number, and when I went back, looked him up. His wife came to the door. I asked for her husband and told him where I'd been, and oh, yeah, and the guy who sent me there, yeah, oh, yeah, everything was going real friendly. And he said, where do you pastor? And I told him the church, and he had a physical form difference. He had a twisted face difference and gave me an awful line. Told me he was never going back to that church, for me never come back to his door. And I mean, and when he was done, whop. Whew. I'd never heard a word. So, I was concerned. One of the main people in the church, I said, when this individual was coming to church, were you coming? Oh, yeah, sure. I said, was there some big thing that happened? I said, no. They quit and said they wouldn't be back, but we never did know why. You got it? If it was very big, at least somebody should have known about it. Nobody knew. It had come awful big to them. And the devil can take real or unreal and build it like a skyscraper. I was visiting with his daughter. This guy gave me his daughter's number and was visiting. And Brother Nathan Bryant was here in this camp meeting, and he was there for revival. And I said, "Brother, let's go visit this person I've been visiting." And it had always been very warm before. Maybe because brought an evangelist, and maybe she felt a little more heat, spiritual heat, I don't know. And I saw the same twist of her body, the same contorted face, and literally the same verbatim words that her dad had said. And it shut the door. You know, it's important, parents, for us to get the victory so that it doesn't affect our children and keep them from getting the victory. I don't know what it was, but the reason he backslid was the very same reason she was backslid, and the very same thing the devil was building in her life, raising her kids, probably with the same thing. Oh, how much better. I don't know what it was, but how much better if somehow there had been a difference and let the grace of God come in. Oh, I'm satisfied. That man thought, somewhere I'm going to get things right. Somewhere I want to go to heaven. In fact, his wife still had pretty good standards. They hadn't thrown everything away. The devil wants you to put off the issues of your soul. Somehow, when Felix came to, as far as we know, at least from the Bible, and it may have been the optimum moment and opportunity of his lifetime, the devil got him convinced to look for a more convenient season. I want to tell you something, friends. The devil will never show you that convenient season. He told Felix, "No, this isn't the time. I'm going to show you a better." He'll never show you a better time. Someday, God helps. Well, thirdly, all the wicked buried had come and gone from the place holy. They missed their last chance. How many times had God knocked on their heart's door? How many times had they felt the grip of the Spirit? Girl I went to high school with, God was moving mightily on her heart. She's held the back of the seat till her hands and knuckles were white. She was shaking. She was weeping, but she wouldn't yield. Life has been a story of heartache. I'm not saying that was her last time, but she knew God was speaking. How many times we think, "Oh, God will speak again. God will speak again." And in His gracious mercy, how many times He has spoken. But friend, somewhere there's a last time God will speak and move on your heart. It may be when you're 90, and it may be when you're 19. We don't know. We hear the knock. They heard the knock. But they thought there'd be another one. Every once in a while, in a meeting, revival or camp meeting, you'll hear someone testify, "The night I got saved, God told me it's tonight or never." Now, I never did hear that. God told you that? That was extended mercy to you, friend. If that was your last call and God said it's tonight or never, God was being extra merciful to you. I'd never take that away from anyone's testimony. Hell is full of people who did not intend to go there. People go to heaven on purpose. People go to hell because the devil tricked them. They did not intend to go there. Talk to a man out in Charleston, West Virginia. He'd been with a group of boys in a revival meeting up in Pennsylvania. God had moved in that revival. God was moving on their hearts. They were his buddies. He said, "You want the names?" I said, "No, I don't want the names. I might run into their families preaching around up there. I don't want their names." The pastor called him to quiet down a couple times. Finally, the leader of the boys said, "Come on, let's go." Roared out of the parking lot of the church, down, got some fuel, that's getting fuel. Where they was getting fuel, the man asked him, said, "Boy, you guys seem to be having a high time." Said, "Where are you headed?" And that boy yelled, "We're headed to hell." Well, the man said, "How far is it?" He said, 9 miles. They roared away and took off down the road. It wasn't but a few minutes. Here came an ambulance. He thought, "I wonder." He jumped in his car and he followed the ambulance down the road. And sure enough, the very car that he had put the gas in and turned upside down was four bodies laying out in the ditch. They pulled a sheet over every one of them. He got back in his vehicle. He said, "I just wonder how far it is." And when he clocked it back to the station, it was 9.0 miles. That's what he told me. Did they know it was 9 miles? No, they didn't know. Did they really intend to go to hell that night? I guarantee you they never did. Sunday school boys out of that gospel, out of that God's missionary church, holiness church. But they heard their last call and didn't know it. Then a revival meeting in this state. Well, before that, it was in another state, a neighboring state. And this man had married a holiness girl. He was from a background that, you know, he'd been brought up in this, once saved, always saved. And when he was a congenial type fella. But when it would come, they came to service every night, revival. Come to the altar call time. And they wasn't this way any other time, but in the altar call time, he would kind of stand back and had this kind of smirky smile. Normally it was a very friendly smile, but it was more of a smirk. Every night. When the altar call or people came and went and prayed or we dismissed and And by the time he got to the door, he was the same old congenial, friendly fella. Went through that whole meeting, through the last night of revival, exact same thing happened again. I was holding a meeting in another location in this state. That night when I went up to the platform, my head was headed that way. I was kneeling down. My eyes were closed. That man came about 3 feet from me and gave that congenial smile that he could give. And the Lord said, "Preach to that man." I've never had that happen before or since. There was probably 80 people in the service that night. I preached a gospel message. But in my spirit, it was targeting to one man because that's who the Lord told me to preach to. Others came to the altar. But that night during the altar call, he didn't have the smirk. His head was down. He had my hairdo, and his head was bright red. God had gripped his heart. God said, "Preach to that man," and the Holy Spirit was dealing with him. I thought if God said, "Preach to him," and he's dealing with him, I'm not going to close this altar call until the Holy Spirit's finished dealing with him, or he comes. I've never held an altar call that long. Others came up and started praying with those at the altar. That was fine. But I saw him take a deep breath and stand up. Not a smile, not a smirk. A very sober glance at me. And turn and walk out the door. Less than a week, about 5 days later, I got a call from his brother-in-law, said, "Did you hear?" "No." Called his name. Said he was up cleaning these gutters. Fell from the ladder. The doctor said he was dead before he hit the ground. Out into eternity. Do I have to tell you what I was thinking when I heard that? God knew that was his time. God dealt as mightily and visibly as I've ever seen. And he missed it. And the sad thing is, I asked his brother-in-law, "Did he pray? Is there any hope, anything after that service?" He said, "Not a thing." He missed it. Down in another state, his widow came to a revival meeting. "Brother Doddrell, I'm not being dramatic." That dear widow was brokenhearted. She came to me like this. Froze, turned away. Talking with other people, a little bit later, here she came again. Turned and went away. I thought, well, that's it. Here she came again. Shaking. About ready to faint. And then she looked at me and said, "Did he make it?" The situation she was in, I could not tell her what I've told you. I really don't think she'd have lived through it. I said, "God is a faithful God and a just God. And God knows all." And then I focused on her, trying to hold her faith and make it to heaven. Isn't that an awful thing, though? Leave your family with no hope. I don't care if you... Hey, he wasn't a rich dude, but a very comfortable man. He had worked hard and saved money. They had a nice home. He had good accounts. She's never wanted a thing while he lived or since he died. Where is he? You know why she's ringing like this? She's afraid she knows where he is. What is your friends? What is your loved one? What is your spouse, those closest to you? What do they think about you? If you drop dead, would they have an assurance or would they be wondering? He heard his last call. And he missed it. It wasn't that God hadn't called. It wasn't that he hadn't heard it. But he said no, and he missed the opportunity. I could tell you more, but I move on to the last point. Said they were forgotten. In this city where they had so done. They were forgotten. But the thing of it is, may be forgotten here, but will live on forever in hell. The wicked buried. You know, as preachers, sometimes families put a lot of pressure on us to make declarations for their loved one. I like the way one preacher did. I never met the preacher before, but I knew the person. And she had been a holiness pastor's wife and had backslid. And had kind of gone a different direction and different persuasion and, to say the least, less than holy. But the family had schooled the preacher on what to say about her. So when he came to anything that they had said they wanted said, here's the way he dealt with it. I thought it's pretty good. The family says, somehow if we can get the preacher to say it, it's going to change. Let me tell you, the preacher can't do a thing. How you've lived is what decides everything. Live on forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus said of the rich man, didn't say he wasn't rich. Didn't say he was a thief. But he said he's a fool. Because he had built all of his treasures in this world and nothing in the world to come, no preparations of his soul. You know what he told himself? Ha, ha, ha. Woo, soul. That's talking to himself. Soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink. Oh, yeah, we're not going to work anymore. We're just going to party from here on. I'm going to be a party hound. God said, thou fool. You're not going to live years in party. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall all these things be? And the answer is it doesn't matter. Let me tell you about a pastor in New Guinea. And I've told this around the country in various situations and whatever, but I feel to tell it again tonight. Pastor Lama came to the Bible school. He was married. He had been pastoring. He came for further training. He brought his young family with him. He wasn't the most gifted student, but a diligent student, and made very respectable grades and applied himself. God expanded him and gave him an influence. He had a deep voice, kind of like Brother Horner. Kind of a deep, portraying voice that, projects. And finished well in Bible school. There was another pastor at the church where he had left to come to Bible school. He went to a different district, and God helped him there, and revival came to that district. He was on fire for God. Another district had called him, said, "We need your help down here." He left that district in the hands of others and went down to the Bear River area, to another area, more of a new area. And God's Spirit was on him. And there were more churches started, and revival came into that area. They had a tremendous growth and a building of the church. Oh, it was going great. They voted him in as their district chairman. Friend, let me tell you something. Any position you get voted in, you can get voted out. He got voted out. It wasn't because he had done wrong. It wasn't because revival wasn't still going. But for whatever reason, I happened to be serving on that committee. We had to evaluate his complaint that the election wasn't a fair election. From everything we could tell, there was not one person besides him who had any question about the outcome of that election. So we upheld the results of the election. Here's what he did. Never said a word. He just went, walked out the door. That's the last time I seen him. That was in January of 93. He left that conference. Before he had gotten home, he was smoking, drinking, chewing betel nut, chasing women, just doing anything he could think of, disrupt even. Not for fun, but for rage. He was going to prove how wrong. He was going to prove how wrong they were. I think he has proven how right they were and how wrong he was. But he was proving it. Of course, he moved. He couldn't go back to his village as all Christians. He goes to his wife's village in another area, which were Catholic. Six months goes by. In July of 93, one day on a Saturday, Pastor Pilipo Midia was down at the market in Mindy. He was pastoring there then. The ambulance driver called his name. He said, "Hey, you have a pastor that's about to die up here in the hospital." "Oh," he said, "I hadn't heard." He quickly gets his things. He goes home. He goes down to the hospital, down at the to find out who this pastor is. He gets down there, and actually it's not a pastor, it's a backslidden pastor. Here's what I know him as, Pastor Lama. He said, They tell me you're seriously ill. Yeah. Said you need to be saved. You need to get things right with God. Yeah. He said, I plan to someday. But he said, I got to get even first. Filippo tried to exhort him. He said, well, can I pray with you? Oh, he said, you can pray, but it won't do any good. Filippo said, I tried to pray, and he's right. It didn't do any good. He went home, preached Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon. He went back down. Very similar visit. Sunday night, he was behind the pulpit. Their church had a center aisle and the double doors back here, and the ambulance came and parked at the double doors with its lights a-flashing, and the ambulance driver stepped in the door and motioned to him to come, and he turned the service over to someone else. They jumped in the ambulance. The ambulance driver said, about a mile away, he said, I'm not sure we'll make it in time. They didn't park in the parking lot. They drove right up to the door. He said, as soon as they opened the door of that hospital, that booming bass voice that had thundered the message of God, that other people had gotten saved and sanctified, he said, it filled that hospital with the curses of God, against God. He went back. They had his feet tied to the bed. They had his arms tied and strapped down. He was thrashing from side to side, yelling at the top of his voice, cursing every word and breath. He tapped him on the shoulder. He shook him. He couldn't seem to get any recognition, and he just kept thrashing and cursing. Finally, he got right down over him, and he tried to overpower his voice. Nothing broke the curses and the thrashing. And all of a sudden, everything went silent and still. And a backslidden holiness preacher crossed the line of worlds cursing God. I want to tell you something. I haven't got away from it. I never did see him in that condition. I think of him as the man that God was using. Ninety-three, 24 years. He's been writhing in the damned with an eternity ahead of him. I think of one who had come and gone from the holy, who had preached in the holy. But when he died, he was buried with the wicked. What a sad story. He told Filippo, I'm not sure if I told you this or not. He said, I want to get even. But he said, someday I want to get right with God, and someday I want to preach again. He'll never preach again. Oh, friends. I don't know if there's someone here tonight. We've had a gracious camp meeting. Thank God for every... seeking heart and every obedient heart. There's a reason that God wouldn't let me go anywhere else. It's one soul here tonight. You're that soul that God's reaching out to. He said he left the 99 to go out to find that one. Are you that one tonight? Brother Sam, will you come? Prayer to sing. Oh, friends. He's reaching out to you. He wants you to make it. Revelation, right at the end of the Bible, chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Oh, friends, God wants to do something for you. Don't pass it off. Don't listen to the old liar. Don't let him out-trick you. Amen. And one day be numbered among the wicked and miss it. Shall we stand? They missed it. God help us not to miss it. They can't do anything about it. We can. And I trust we will. Heavenly Father, as we wait a moment here tonight, may your blessed Spirit search up and down these aisles and rows once more. May there not be one to go out still unprepared to meet God. We pray in Jesus' name. And as our brother sings, I encourage you to step right out. Praise the Lord. Amen. Patiently, one has come. What about you? God, help us tonight. God bless you.
Jesus is standing today.
Holy Spirit, we don't want to miss
at
it.
At your heart's door, he knocks. God as bless before. Your heart. Oh, turn him
amen.
No longer.
Lord, you've heard the knock. Let's do something.
You've gone
amen.
Astray. Oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day.
God.
Don't turn the same.